Hi, I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories outdoors. I have a quick announcement to make before we get started, and that is that we are going to be teaming up with the University of Wyoming Art Museum to host a storytelling workshop later this month, and we would love for you to join us. We all have stories to tell, but it's often tough to make them interesting to people outside your immediate circle of friends and family. That's where this workshop comes in. It's a one-day event, and it'll help you develop stories about the outdoors that are fun and engaging. We'll use the museum's current exhibitions to fuel your creativity, and by the end of the day, you will have the tools you need to captivate your audience and keep them spellbound, even if they have no interest in the outdoors. The workshop is October 27th at the UW Art Museum in Laramie, Wyoming. No experience necessary, just come prepared to have fun. But you do need to register ahead of time. Head over to our website or Facebook page to do that. And I should say we are capping registration at 15 people, so don't wait too long to sign up. Okay, on to our story for today. Major life events have a way of changing who we are. It can be falling in love or a really bad breakup. Maybe it's a serious injury or a career change. We tend to emerge from these experiences a changed person. Often we're stronger or more capable, but sometimes the opposite. In some cases, we're left feeling like two different people. The person you were before the very big thing happened and the person after. 4 years after a major life change, today's storyteller is still trying to reconcile her two selves. I'll let Monica Goki take it from here.
It's 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm on dawn patrol, taking my 3.5-year-old son fishing.
All right, you got your fishing pole?
Yep, I got mine and I got yours. Let's see, right here?
Yeah, right here.
Okay. All right, casting. 1, 2.
Early morning fishing is not my top choice of activity, but it's something. Before I had kids, dawn patrol meant something entirely different. It meant leaving my sleeping bag in the dark, stepping out into the dewy grass of a West Virginia morning on my way to paddle the 26 miles of a Gauley marathon. Or it meant meeting friends at Great Falls on the Potomac, lining up our boats above big waterfalls, getting our kicks in before work. Or it meant meeting a helicopter in a field in New Zealand, ready to fly up the Hokitika River, from where paddling downstream would be the only exit. Whitewater kayaking was a huge part of my life in my early 20s. Like a river chisels a landscape, the river chiseled me into who I am. It taught me self-reliance and how to be competent in the outdoors, which boosted my confidence in everything. The river taught me risk management, how to embrace the things I could control and make an informed decision when navigating the rest. Kayaking also gave me a level head. You can't freak out in the middle of the wilderness if your only way out is a river. All of it shaped me in so many ways. And it gave me a tribe. Like anywhere I saw cars with roof racks, or I saw certain t-shirts from a particular river festival, I automatically knew I had a lot in common with those people, simply because I am a kayaker. Well, I guess I was a kayaker. The truth is, I don't kayak very much anymore. But I still find myself identifying as a kayaker. Sometimes I'll be talking with kayaking friends, you know, we'll be swapping river stories, and then I'll realize the story I have in mind, the one that seems so fresh and vivid, it's actually something like 8 years old and totally stale. And I feel kind of embarrassed that I tell it like it was yesterday. Kayaker, non-kayaker. Pre-parent self, post-parent self. I've been trying to reconcile these two people ever since I had kids. Like a lot of first-time parents, I assumed nothing about my life would change in a major way. The more the merrier, even. My husband and I would be the kind of couple who packed their kids along for everything. The kind of outdoorsy family you see in Patagonia catalogs and stuff. When I was 4 months pregnant with my first, I even paddled the Alsek Tatsushini. It's a 10-day river trip through the Yukon, BC, and Alaska. I thought it marked the start of me doing parenthood right, bringing up my kids in the lifestyle that helped shape me. But that has not been the case. I live what I will call a very mommy existence. I have three kids and all the commensurate responsibilities that go along with that. My Subaru got traded in for a minivan. I have snacks and wipes stuffed in every crevice of every space I spend time in. And I don't kayak. I recently idled away an evening on social media, poring over a kayaking friend from my past life, someone I've always admired. She was slash is a phenomenal kayaker. I've always wanted to be more like her. But right now, we could not be more different. She too is a parent, mother to a handsome 18-month-old son. And last spring, she flew from her home country of Norway to Canada for a yearly kayaking pilgrimage called Stakeout. All by herself. Kid, kayak, everything. And it got me thinking, how come I never did something like that? This trip she did, it strikes me as positively impossible right now. Traveling by myself with a kid on a kayaking trip? No way. But try as I might to make excuses, the only difference between her and me is that she did it, and I didn't. She took the plunge. I stayed on shore. And I really admire that about her. This friend, she didn't let becoming a parent put a damper on her kayaking life, on her identity, really. On that trip, it looked like friends took turns watching her son while she boated, and she was generally just able to fold her kid into the mix, relying on the proverbial village of the kayaking community. It was amazing to see. Through social media, that is. To be fair, not all the kayakers I used to run around with have had this kind of seamless transition into parenthood. Some still hang on to their old lifestyles in a way that does not strike me as particularly healthy. Like one time, a couple years ago, we were at our local playwave, and a friend of ours who was a single parent at the time was trying to get their kid to put on a life jacket while they took a couple surfs. I remember this parent saying, "You need to wear your life jacket. Remember how scary it was the last time you fell in?" And at that moment, I felt like it was so selfish, an adult wanting to go kayaking, while a kid waited on shore in what was probably not the safest situation. The long and short of it is, in both these examples, my Norwegian friend and my single parent friend, each person was trying not to lose their pre-parent self. And that, I think, is really healthy. Totally worth striving for, 100%. I, on the other hand, feel like I let my pre-parent self slide away too easily. I didn't make time for kayaking, and as a consequence, it has subtly been eclipsed from my life. And it's left me feeling a bit adrift on who I am anymore. My mom tribe is a very different cohort than my kayaking tribe. Some days, when I'm wrangling three kids, managing tantrums while trying to nurse a baby and get a snack on the table, I really miss the old me. I don't think she'd put up with this. She'd shove all the kids into the minivan and insist on going for a hike. Even with three screaming prisoners. But the now me? She's more apt to buy a couple minutes of calm with an episode of Peppa Pig. And sometimes I don't like her, this new me.
Hey, it's Willow again. We'll get back to the story in a moment, but first, a word from our sponsor. Support for Out There comes from The Great Courses, letting you learn for the pure pleasure of learning. Since you're listening to a podcast that's all about big ideas, I am willing to bet that you're kind of like me in that you enjoy learning. Maybe you too wish you still had the intellectual stimulation you got in college. That's where The Great Courses come in. They're college-level classes designed by experts who are passionate about sharing their knowledge. You don't have to be enrolled in an academic institution to enjoy them. You just stream the courses online or purchase them in digital format. There's no homework, no exams, just learning for the fun of it. One of the courses I think many of you might be interested in is the Fundamentals of Photography course, which is led by a National Geographic photographer. Think about how many times you've been in a gorgeous place, and then you go home and you look at your photos and you realize they don't do it justice at all. This course is designed to help you capture those moments, regardless of what camera you have. If you're interested in trying out the photography course, we have a special deal for you. For a limited time only, you can buy a digital copy of Fundamentals of Photography for just $9.99. That's over $200 in savings. Or, if you'd like to scope out some of the other course offerings, you can sign up for a free trial of The Great Courses Plus, which gives you unlimited access to all the courses. That offer is also only available for a limited time. To take advantage of either of these deals, just go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/outthere. Again, that's thegreatcoursesplus.com/outthere. And of course, we have a link to it on our website as well. And now, back to the story.
Two winters ago, something happened that started to change things. Just a little. It came about kind of by accident. Idaho Fish and Game was putting on a free ice fishing day at a nearby reservoir, and I took our oldest child, who was 2 at the time. We caught 0 fish, but we did bait the hook with a worm, and then we ran through an exhaustive list of everyone we knew, deciding who would and wouldn't eat a worm, and it ended up being a pretty fun day. We even got to keep the fishing pole. And once we had a fishing pole, it seemed so easy to go again and again. And that's how I got here, fishing at dawn with my son.
You wanna hold your pole there?
I hope I catch a nummy fish.
I hope I catch a nummy fish too, Vern.
We're fishing together.
We are fishing together.
I didn't see you a lie, Mama.
Yeah, I should probably reel it in, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, those fish, they might have gotten my bait.
I'm still not even sure I like fishing, but it is pretty easy to go fishing with a kid. And that's what works for us right now. Easy. These dawn patrol fishing trips, getting up at 6 a.m., they are hard won some weeks. But I feel like it's one of the small things that I can do right now to bridge the gap between the old me and the new me. No kid me and 3 kid me. Outdoorsman Alistair Humphreys calls this kind of thing a micro-adventure. It's something parents squeeze in on the fringes of hectic parent life to keep a foot in the great outdoors. It could be something like camping on a work night or doing an early morning dawn patrol. Micro-adventuring is kind of just a way to stay invigorated. I hope these early morning fishing trips are contributing to something bigger. Sort of like how the first skill every whitewater kayaker learns is the wet exit, which is getting out of your boat when it flips over. It's an essential skill, if a somewhat unpleasant one to learn. And sometimes, if I frame it right, I think fishing is doing the same thing for us. Like, maybe by getting up early and braving the frigid morning air, we're serving ourselves some greater purpose. I think it's helping my oldest learn to love the outdoors. and I hope I can make time for these one-on-one outings with my other two kids when they're older. Although I'm pretty sure fishing will never be my thing, it is helping me reconnect with the outdoors at a time when I feel like I have less space for it than ever. Instead of recoiling at the smell of power bait on my fingers, I smile and I remember the thrill of hooking a small rainbow trout, my son screaming, "You got a fish!" When I close my eyes and imagine myself, let's say 10 years from now, my kids will be going on 14, 13, and 11. I imagine us planning for a 3-week Grand Canyon trip. Or maybe we'll be ripping down the slope somewhere in my old stomping grounds in British Columbia. I foresee us having epic backpacking trips and playing games around a campfire after a long, tiring, beautiful day outside. What I'm seeing is pretty much the old me, but with three new adventure buddies by my side, all budding into competent outdoorsmen and women. In my daydreams, these people are my tribe, these little pieces of me, my children. They're the old me coming full circle with the new me.
That was Monica Goki. She's a writer and radio producer in central Idaho, where she runs around with three kids on a cattle ranch. If you want to hear more of her work, hop on over to the Outlandish podcast. It's a show all about public lands and what they mean to us. Before you go, I have a couple of announcements to make. First off, thank you so much to everyone who took the survey about our advice segment. We got some really lovely feedback about the segment, but we also appreciated hearing from those of you who weren't so keen on Dear Nature. In the end, it was a really tough decision, particularly knowing that some of you really got something out of listening to our advice columnists. But based on the overall survey results, we decided not to keep producing the advice segment in its current form. That said, the feedback you gave us convinced us that we should keep experimenting in this space. So we've decided to start a Facebook group where all of you can ask each other advice and share ideas. I really hope this will become a wonderful, supportive community, the kind of place where you can all connect with each other and with us. And who knows, maybe some of the stories that arise in this group will give way to a new segment on the show one day. In any case, stay tuned for all the details on that. We'll let you know as soon as the group is up and running. Secondly, a quick reminder that registration is now open for our storytelling workshop on October 27th. If you are interested in attending, you can sign up on our website, outtherepodcast.com. You can also register via our Facebook page. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I really hope to see some of you there. A big thank you to several of our listeners who have made financial contributions to the show. Adam Richman, Ken Johnson, James Brunt, Kim Albee, George Davis, Bill Apple, and Deb and Vince Garcia all made financial contributions to the show. Thank you all so much. Listener contributions really do keep this show afloat. Advertisers come and go, but your support makes it possible to keep doing what we do. If you'd like to join your fellow listeners in making a gift to the show, just head over to outtherepodcast.com and click support. You can make a one-time donation, or, and this is even better, you can contribute to our Patreon campaign. Patreon is a crowdfunding platform for creative endeavors, and it lets you make smaller donations on a monthly basis. That's all at outtherepodcast.com. That's it for this episode. Our marketing and business development director is Alex Eggerking, and our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. Have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.